कौन सा शब्द कल्याणकारी।
The perfection of love, harmony and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. Beloved ones of God, dear friends, this morning we will be practicing traditional techniques of meditation that have been handed down heart to heart for centuries in the inner school of the Chishtya Sufi tradition. As you may know, every sacred tradition has a practice of ablution, of purification, as a preparation for acts of worship. In Islam, the ablution is called wudu, purification with water before prayer. In the absence of water, it can be done with sand. And in fact, there is a purification for each of the elements, a baptism by each element: earth, water, fire, air, and the fifth element, ether. So we will begin our meditation with an act of inner purification with the elements. This is a practice that is common to yoga and Sufism, called in yoga tattva shuddhi, elemental purification. Traditionally, this practice is done either standing in nature or seated on the floor, kneeling or cross-legged, generally cross-legged. It's all right to do the practice in a chair as we are, but it's important to sit with one's back straight, not leaning against the back of the chair. Spine and shoulders straight, symmetrical, but relaxed. Be present to the body, You may notice that you're holding tension in some parts of the body. And as you become present to your physical embodiment, you'll notice those places of tension. And by a simple act of consciousness, allow them to relax. Be aware of your heartbeat. That is your inner clock. And as one advances in meditation, one paces oneself by the pulse of one's heart. We're generally unaware of the beat of our heart, except in moments of silent concentration. But the more that we practice such meditation, the more that we may become aware of the beat of our life's blood throughout our daily lives, now become aware of the breath. The breath which connects us with the totality of being. Which is our very life. And as you breathe in through the nose, and breathe out through the nose, become aware of a flow of energy. Our physical bodies are embedded within a field of energy. One dimension of which is the electromagnetic field. Which is the very template of our body. As you breathe, become aware of this electromagnetic field. And as you inhale, draw up the telluric magnetism, the magnetism of the planet Earth, which sustains and nourishes our own magnetism. magnetic field is itself an articulation of the life force of the earth. Inhaling in this way, feel your life field charged with the energy of the earth, with its vibrations. And as you exhale, all of the detritus, all that cannot be assimilated within your mind-body complex flows outward, downward, through the base of the spine to be received by the earth. With its magical alchemy of transformation, be composted and in turn inhaling we draw new sustenance from the earth. One begins to identify with the attunement of the earth. A groundedness, stability, humility. Patience. Continue to inhale through the nose, but now we exhale through the mouth. Blowing out a fine stream of air. With this change of breath, you'll feel that the energy changes. feels lighter, freer, more fluid. This is the energy of the water. Now, as we inhale, we feel a brisk, crystalline stream of water flowing from the top of the head crown center, flowing down as a cascade, flowing through one's whole body, flowing through all of the spaces in one's body, purifying, giving life, and flowing outward, taking with it all of the debris that we have accumulated, that we cannot process, cannot assimilate. All that flows out with this crystalline, pure water of life. As we exhale through the mouth. Come to identify with the oceans and waterways of the world, the attunement of water, pure, generous, fluid, Now the breath shifts once again. We breathe in through the mouth with the lips slightly pursed so that a very fine stream of air enters. And exhale through the nose. This is the breath of fire. As we inhale, we supply oxygen to a flame that blazes up within the solar plexus. Is kindled with our inhalation and blazes forth as we exhale, spreading its warmth throughout the body and its light beyond the body, radiating out into the universe. And in that blaze, all of our toxins are combusted. Transformed into light. Let your face become like the face of Prince Huraksh, the Archangel of the Sun. Ecstatic, full of ardor and glory. we inhale and exhale through the mouth. Very fine, subtle stream of breath. Nonetheless, penetrates very deeply within. This is the breath of air. With this breath, one's whole body becomes porous. One is aware that one is not merely breathing in through the mouth, but one's whole body is breathing. The air element is passing through every part of one's body. The zephyr of the beloved. And one becomes aware of the vast spaces between the particles of one's body. One becomes aware of oneself as a choreography of points of energy arrayed at vast distances. Between which the purifying breath of air passes, voiding all pollutants, feels oneself amorphous, gaseous, free. Now the breath shifts once again, and we return to respiration through through the nose, inhaling and exhaling through the nose. But in this process, one's breath has become transformed, charged with energy, refined. One is breathing the very air of the air, the prana, the life of the air. And one may experience a feeling of ascension, of being drawn upward through the crown center, rising above one's body. This elevation, which first seems to take place spatially, one feels one is rising, then gives way to a feeling of ubiquity beyond space. One is no more rising, but entering into a spaceless space that is everywhere and nowhere. There is no attunement here, no atmosphere. Only oneself, one's own sheer luminous presence. Now allow this presence to descend into the body, becoming aware once again of one's physical embodiment, the feeling of the feet on the ground, and experiencing one's body now purified, revitalized, balanced, integrating the elements of earth, water, fire, and air. Now, with this preparation, we will explore the faculties, the organs of subtle perception that are embedded within the body. Body, the self, according to the sacred tradition, is upon the image of God. The body is a microcosm containing within it all that exists in the universe. Nested within our physical embodiment are organs, subtle centers, plexi, which correspond to each level of reality, from the outermost, the physical world, to the innermost. State of eternal essence. In a moment, we will practice a technique which is known as Zikre Jarub, which means the zikr of the broom, which is a practice of purification and activation of each of the seven subtle centers or latifas, lataif, subtleties. But let us first introduce each of these subtle centers. The subtle center which corresponds to the outermost sphere, which is called in Sufism Nasut. There is the difference between Nasut and Dunya. Dunya is the physical world as we misapprehend it, whereas Nasut is the physical world itself, which is quite different from our skewed, biased, highly relative misapprehension. It is the very manifestation of God in the Zahir, the manifest. The first latifa is the qalab, which means the mold. It is the mold of our physical body and the mold of our body of resurrection. Our body in the hereafter is a continuation of this body. Mold means something in which something is formed, a template, Kalab is the template of our body. The substance of this physical body, as you know, is acquired by digestion. We assimilate substance from the environment through what we eat, which comes to us from other organisms, animals, plants, minerals. The very substance of our physical embodiment is the substance of the bodies of untold numbers of animals, plants, minerals, and indeed other human beings for countless millennia. The substance of our body flows into us and out of us and belongs to the substance of the planet Earth. Which is a creation of stardust arising from the crystallization of spirit as matter. This is the substance of our body. In future generations, the substance of our body will belong to the bodies of others. And yet this substance is customized to ourselves by the qalab, the mold of our embodiment. And this mold itself belongs to a continuum. We inherit our form from our ancestors. It is the culmination of our genealogy. And what is perhaps less known is that we contribute to our own evolution, that we are refashioned in accordance with our own attunement, with our embodiment of meaningfulness. And the body of resurrection has still greater malleability than our own physical body. And this work is done through this center, the qalab. Being the outermost center, the qalab is most susceptible to pollution, to desensitization, and when congested, this center acts as a barrier, preventing access to the further centers. So its purification is primary. The next higher center is the nafs, the locus of our selfhood, our mental identity, which has its special location in the body, just below the navel. Just as our body is a concentration of the substance of the planet, in the same way our thinking is a condition of the thinking of humanity. The way that we perceive ourselves is conditioned by our education, by our culture. Our identity is very much the product of our environment. Each of us is, in a sense, a localization of the thinking of humanity. And we share in the pathologies. But here again, we have the potential to act with agency upon our own sense of identity. The nafs can be transformed from the nafs which demands, the nafs which is oblivious to its connectivity with all life. That nafs develops and becomes the thoughtful nafs, more aware of its relations, of its embeddedness within a total system, and becomes ultimately nafs al-mutmaina, the nafs which feels intuitively unity. The further center is the qalb, the heart center, which has its location in the space of the physical heart. This center corresponds to one's unconscious. In addition to one's conscious self-image, one has an identity which might be described as one's personal mythology. Not the facts of one's life so much as the story of one's life. This unfolds in the qalb. It corresponds to the plane which the Sufis call alam al-mithal, the world of the image, of the symbol. And this is a place of mediation and integration between the outer and the inner, between that which we sense with our senses and that which is intelligible to our soul, the abstract. Between the concrete and the abstract, there is a barzakh, there is an isthmus, as the Sufis say, where spirits are corporealized and bodies are spiritualized. Body and spirit meet here in the realm of symbol. Here, the events of our lives take on meaning in the light of spirit. If one has had, a traumatic experience, a car crash, well, all of the details of the memory of that accident may gradually dissolve with time. You don't remember the street name, all of the details of the incident. And yet that event lives on, transformed as inner experience, as myth, in the plane of Alam al-Mithal. That is the story of one's heart. And now, deeper still, one encounters the plane of Malakut, the angelic realm. The Alam al-Mithal is the realm of the jinn, the genies, the geniuses. The Malakut is the realm of the angels.